Reverend Father, and venerable religious, and dear parishioners, Holy Thursday night is a night of such tremendous love. The night before he's going to die, Jesus changes bread into his own flesh and changes wine into his blood and gives it to his apostles to eat and to drink as their first Holy Communion. But the love, or I should say the celebration of the love, is marred by some extremely sad realities. And those that message comes across in the liturgy of Holy Thursday. There's some very significant joy being shown, but there's also some real sadness occurring during the Holy Thursday Mass. And why the sadness? Because one of the apostles made a sacrilegious communion and already the day before had betrayed Jesus for the price of a slave. And it was in exact fulfillment from the prophet Zacharias that he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. And so what is marring the celebration is the betrayal, the absolute betrayal. So in speaking about Holy Thursday, or if we were to paint a picture of Holy Thursday, we cannot leave out Judas Iscariot. After all, he's in every Last Supper painting or representation. You see here underneath the main altar a bas-relief of the Last Supper. This is the only thing left over from the Jesuits when we moved to Mount St. Michael, and how fortunate we were able to take the bas-relief out of the altar, which unfortunately the Jesuits and the new modernist spirit of Vatican II had jackhammered out of here and taken to a dump on the premises. This was preserved. And for many years, we had it in the library. And when we put in 1991, these beautiful altars and other artifacts from the orphanage in Wisconsin, we were able to fit that Last Supper scene right into the altar. It fits perfectly, as does, of course, the altars, the angel statues. But every time you look at the Last Supper, there is the traitor. You can see him. He's to our left of our Lord, and so often he's shown with clutching his bag of money. He dared to bring it along. And he was going to betray his divine friend and master that night. He knew where Jesus was going to go that night. And he had already arranged for it to happen. And it had to happen at that time because the great feast of the Passover was near at hand, and they had to grab this opportunity, and Judas made it happen. Now, a more benign interpretation is that Judas was counting on Jesus to deliver himself. After all, when they were going to stone him at another time, Jesus just disappeared. Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. Of course Jesus could escape. He could just disappear, vanish in thin air. And that is, as I said, a more benign interpretation of what Judas was thinking. But even so, to still hand over his master and his friend for the price of a slave, that was the standard price in the Old Testament. It's right in, I think it's Deuteronomy. And to kiss him is unbelievably sad. So we're talking about a fall, a horrible fall. You know, I'll never forget one Holy Thursday. It was about 8 or 9 years ago, right during the sermon, one of the angels came falling off the wall. The supports had weakened. And maybe that was a symbol of the fall of Judas. How could this have happened? I mean, he was one of the 12. He saw Jesus work miracles. And how could this be? There was a spiritual fall going on in Judas's life, and that's why. Somebody sent me a very beautiful, or a link to a very beautiful article. It was a sermon of Bishop Sheen about Judas. And I'd like to share some of this with you. If only to help us understand more about what happened that night, about the baseness of the betrayal. And to take it as a warning for ourselves. What is necessary to make sure that I never fail my Lord and Master, that I never betray him? Bishop Sheen began this sermon talking about why so many priests had left the priesthood. He had seen it in his time. And he says, in the past few years in the church, we have had many psychological and sociological studies, all attempting to explain why some priests have left their sacred calling. I presume they have some value, but it is interesting that none of them thought of making a biblical study of why a priest leaves. Perhaps we would find much if we perused the Gospels and studied Judas. And this isn't to point the fingers at others, my dear brethren. As you well know, we all need to be our primary accusers. So let's keep the finger pointed well in our direction as we think about this. Almost all studies that have been made seriously of Judas say that the principal reason that he left is because he was avaricious. There is indeed some gospel evidence for this. For just a week before the Passion, the Savior was invited into the house of Simon the Pharisee, and what the host saw brought a blush to his cheek. He looked up and saw a woman who was an intruder coming in, and moreover, she was a sinner. Her hair was long, and she did not attempt to brush it back. As she came towards the table, in those days everyone reclined at table on the left arm, leaving the right arm free to eat, she came and stood it over the feet of our blessed Lord and let fall upon the sandaled feet a few tears like the first warm drops of a summer rain. Then, ashamed of what she had done, she attempted to wipe away the tears with her hair. All the while, Simon was thinking, if only he knew what kind of a woman this is. And then she took a small vessel from around her neck of precious perfume. In those days, when they attended funeral rites, they would break the bottle over the remains and then allow the perfume to fall upon the corpse. They would throw the remains even of the bottle onto the body. But she is not pouring out drop by drop. She broke the vessel and gave everything. Judas, all the while, got a whiff of this perfume. Oscar Wilde had described a cynic as one who knows the price of everything and the value of nothing. And this perfume, let me tell you, was no ordinary smell number 5. He immediately fixed the price, 300 days' wages. Judas now becomes the defender of the social order. Why wasn't this sold and sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? I imagine him arguing with our Lord. I heard you on the Mount of Beatitudes say, blessed are the poor. Where is your love for the poor now? Have you forgotten all those fishermen that are laying in the Sea of Galilee? Remember all those huts that were hugging the highway between Jerusalem and Jericho? Are you mindful of those? Have you forgotten the inner city of Jerusalem? It's slums. Where is your love of the poor? The Lord answered, if Judas indeed said all of these things, the poor you have always with you, me you will not have always. And what this good woman has done was for my burial, and it will be told about her around the world. This is an instance of an emphasis on social justice when there was indeed a forgetfulness of individual justice. So, was it avarice? Yes. There's good reason to believe it was avarice. But as Bishop Sheen points out, he said, you know, avarice is the sin of the elderly. They're trying to increase economic prosperity as they feel the end of their days approaching. Lust is the sin of youth. Power is the sin of middle age. And avarice is the sin of those that are older, so often. And he said Judas was not old. So Bishop Sheen goes on to say, yes, although there were elements of avarice here, ultimately it was a failure to love. Ultimately, it was a failure to be faithful to our Lord. And that's where Judas's downfall began. And this is the point that I think is true for all of us, my dear brethren. The point of the downfall of anybody, and we cannot see the future, but we can speak in generalities, and we can certainly speak of the past. The point of departure is when we start to willfully neglect our Lord, when we don't give him the time that we should. When we begin to take for granted the Holy Eucharist and make casual communions, and then we start to have fewer Holy Communions, watch out. The fall may be in progress. That's the lesson we should take away from Judas's sad example. And Bishop Sheen goes back to the priests who had failed their Lord and Master. He said, if they had made their daily holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament, they could not fail. It's impossible. If you stay close to our Lord, if you refuse to take the Blessed Sacrament for granted, if you refuse to take the Mass for granted, if you strive to value and treasure and cherish the Mass, God's house, the Blessed Sacrament, you will keep yourself from falling. So it's those falling by degrees that we have to be so careful about. Always be striving. Judas stopped striving. He had to have. And you know what? How bad it became? The gospel even says the devil entered into him. Right there at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, where our Lord had ordained the apostles priests, had changed bread and wine into his body and blood, and was giving them the greatest testament of his love, the devil was there. He entered into Judas. The purpose of today's sermon is not to stand in condemnation of Judas. God already has judged him. But it is for us to make sure that we are appreciating as much as we can, grow in our love for the Blessed Sacrament. Just if nothing else, in your mind, just say, I will refuse to take the sacrament of the altar, the most holy sacrament of the altar, for granted. I will always treasure it and value it. Wouldn't that be a wonderful resolution to keep and to keep renewing throughout our lives? So we are very deeply now into Holy Week. Tomorrow will be the great day of atonement. He will pay the price in full. But let us, with hearts filled with love, thank our Lord for giving his body and blood. You know what that does for us? It is food for our soul. It's medicine. It strengthens us. It picks us up. It helps us to keep going on the way of the cross. It gives us a pledge of eternal life. We are the envy of angels. If angels could be envious, of course they can't sin, but we can receive Holy Communion because we have a human body. They have no body. They cannot receive him ever. And what infinite treasures are in each Holy Communion? As many graces as we wish, if we keep reaching out to them, they will be given to us. So let us, even though that note of sorrow is there, as I said, let our hearts be filled with love and devotion and gratitude for the most holy sacrament of the altar. He stays with us to do so much for us in this life. O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine.